Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the National All Employment Network Payment Conference Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time during the conference you need to reach an operator, you may press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. It is now my pleasure to introduce Janet Cousin. Please begin, ma'am.
Thank you, France, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Ticket to Work program monthly EN payments call. Thank you for joining us today, and I apologize for the brief delay. We wanted to make sure that we allowed everyone an opportunity to join us today. Our focus, again, is to continue with the introductory presentation of the new ticket portal program that was shared during the previous All Employment Network call and VR calls earlier this month. So joining us today, we have Kara Kaplan and Katie Strivinger, members of the Social Security project team for this effort, who will share some information about the new ticket portal prior to the actual presentation. Once the presentation is complete, as mentioned, we'll open up the lines, we'll take some of your questions and provide answers for you. You can also submit questions via the chat room as well. And certainly if we aren't able to address all of your questions, we'll follow up with you and address those via a published Q&A posted on our website. So without further delay, I'll turn it over to Kara.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to let everyone know first about making sure that you're are ready for the new portal. We only have about 18% of all ENs registered in the portal right now. It is of utmost importance that you guys do register. You need to sign up for your MySSA.com account with extra security, and you must have suitability clearance. Have completed your security awareness training form. You can contact your ENSB specialist, and you know they can get you registered in the portal, or you can contact enservice@ssa.gov, and somebody will get back to you to do that. The portal should be released in late spring, and the consequences of not registering and utilizing the portal is you're going to go back to a very labor-intensive paper process. The only thing you will be able to do is submit payment requests and ticket assignments. Pretty much everything else will be cut off because it is available in the portal. There are many online resources available to you at your TicketToWork.com website. This has been highly anticipated for us and for the EN community. We've been talking about this for about a year now, and we're finally ready to give you a glimpse of what we've done and the progress that's been made by the agency. We have a lot of screens that are available. There are still a lot of things that are not yet available, but you'll get the feel and the look of the system itself. You'll see the queries that you can make, and you'll get to see the payment screens, which Katie will cover in more detail. So I will hand it off to Katie now.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I wanted to give everyone an overview of the differences in functionality between the current portal and the new portal, and as soon as I finish talking, you'll actually get to see it if you haven't had a chance to get a preview of it yet. As Kara was saying, we don't have all the functionality yet. We are still in pilot mode, so there are a lot of things we cannot show you yet because they're not available. But we wanted to give you a look and feel of how it's going to work, and we want to assure you that things are going to be simpler, and better than that, things are going to be in real time. The first thing I want to start with is the access requirements. The current portal is, you get an account, is already set up, and it's maintained by the Awesome. So they set up a valid PIN and password for you, and you use phone factor of verification to verify your identity. The process is completely changing with the new portal. We are relying on the MySocialSecurity.gov authorization that is already in place for MySSA.gov accounts, and we're requiring you to have extra security This is the highest level of security we have here at SSA, and, you know, we take our security and the PII of our ticket beneficiaries very seriously. So when we built this new portal, we had to use the stricter standards than are currently in place. And also the identity verification is by text. It's no longer by phone. You must be able to receive a text message. When you go to log in to the new portal, you're going to log in using your MySSA.gov account, using that username and the password that you create. And then it's going to prompt you for a text. And once you put that text in, you will be in the new portal. The thing about this is that the ENSB, the representatives there, are going to help you enroll in the portal. We need your information. We need your username. We need your Social Security number. And we want to get that from you by phone, because that is what we're using to register you and enroll you in our system. We are hoping to enroll everyone before we go live, so that way you're already in the system, and when we're ready to release it, all we have to do is send you the link to get to the portal and off you go, instead of waiting for the portal to be live and then we have to spend all this time getting your enrollment information. That's why it's important that you go now and you register for an account with extra security, you make sure your suitability has been complete, that you have a current security awareness training letter, and just call someone, your representative, or that mailbox that Kara mentioned, and we will get you enrolled in a portal. Our goal is we would love to enroll everyone before we're ready to go live. So please help us do that by taking these necessary steps and contacting ENSB. I do want to add that while ENSB is enrolling you, if you have problems creating a My Social Security account or adding extra security to your account, we are relying on the 1-800 number to help you. We have no control over your username or password or your access issues. We cannot access that information, only someone using that 1-800 number. When you call that 1-800 number, you need to ask for, like the main menu will ask you, you need to ask for help desk. And you should, the automated system should say My Social Security Help Desk, which means that you've got to the right person. We've had people have issues that they get someone on the phone at the 1-800 number that has no idea what they're talking about, and it's really unfortunate. So please, if you don't hear that My SSA Help Desk, hang up, go through, try again, because you're not going to get to the right person to help you with this. They do have a dedicated staff that can help you with this, and hopefully we can get everyone access. But please do contact us and let us know when you have problems, because we'll try to do everything we can to get you in the system. And now for the system itself. The big difference that I want to stress is that everything is in real time with the new portal. Ticket assignability, you'll be able to upload a batch ticket assignability file, and you'll be able to check ticket assignability one at a time. The difference is that the information in the new portal is going to be in real time. If you check the ticket assignability, you can then, with one more click, assign the ticket right then and there because it's active. The information in the current portal is 2 to 3 days old, meaning that it's possible that you get outdated information. The same thing with ticket assignment and unassignment requests. The request is sent and processed directly into SSA's system. Once you assign the ticket on the screen, you will be able to see with another click that the person is assigned to you on your list of assigned beneficiaries. That is how fast it happens. The current process, the request you make in the current portal, is sent to SSA's system. Then either SSA system either accepts or rejects the assignment or unassignment, and then another day later you find out if it passed or failed. You will know right away if your ticket assignment works correctly. And then the final thing is payment requests. Right now with the current portal, if you're uploading a payment request form, that is manually keyed into SSA system by Awesome staff as we receive it. We staff goes through and creates a work case based on what you put in there. I know you're used to putting in several claim months for a payment, and you can do multiple payment requests at once. The way the new portal is going to work is that the payment information that you type in the portal is automatically going to create a work case in our system. No staff interaction is going to be required. When you hit the submit button, the work case, the payment request, is going to go directly in our system. The difference here is that you have to enter one claim month at a time. Now, I do have instructions for this, but just for an example, I know there's been some talk about the phase one milestones and the fact that there are many months required for earnings for a phase one milestone. You only need to put the attainment month in the payment request. So if it's the second phase one milestone where you have to earn beneficiary has to have 3 months of child work level. You only need to enter the third month as the claimant from that payment request. You'll see that this currently lines up with what you do see in the system. I know right now you're used to putting in several months, but then the person at Awesome actually goes in, picks the correct month, and puts that in the system, and that is what you see in the payment status report. So that is not changing, the logic being used to decide which month is for the payment. It's just at this point we are having you enter it because it is automatically going in our system. We are also going to change the way you send us evidence. We have the ability for you to generate a fax cover sheet. We want you to send in your evidence behind that fax cover sheet. And what that is going to do is that is automatically going to associate the evidence you associate with that payment request. That is automatically going to put it in our system. When the staff person goes in to process that payment, the work case is already there, and the information, the evidence, is already there as well without a single person typing. That is going to speed up payments, and everything, once again, will be in real time. When you submit that payment request to the new portal, you'll be able to go to your pending payments list and see that there is a pending payment right there. And if we require additional evidence, you will have the ability to add extra evidence to that payment request. And another little feature we're adding with the new portal is that you will be able to send a message through the portal to the help desk. So if you're having problems, instead of having to make a phone call or rely on emails, you'll be able to send a message, and that will protect our PII. So that's just a high level with a little focus on payments. Adele Barr is now going to walk you through the screen, and after that, we'll do our Q&A. Thank you.
Thanks, Katie. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today as we explore the new ticket portal. We designed this presentation as an effort to simulate the experience that you'll have once you're able to access the ticket portal. Again, it's just a glimpse of what you'll have in the future. We're looking more of a preview. Everything is not necessarily set in stone, but it gives you an idea of what's to come. What we'll do is we'll navigate through the system by clicking on links. First, we'll visit the main menu of the ticket portal. Let's go ahead and review what you will find here. The assignments list section allows you to view a list of the beneficiaries currently or formerly assigned to your EN. The payments section allows you to review payments already made to your EN and all pending payments for your EN. The assign and unassigned beneficiary section will allow you to check the assignability of a beneficiary by Social Security number, assign and unassigned tickets, upload a file to check assignability, or process assignments or unassignments for multiple beneficiaries, and check the status of those uploaded files and download the responses when ready. The About Your EN or SBR section allows you to download a PDF that displays directory information about your EN. And finally, the Case Notes section allows you to search for case notes you entered for a beneficiary. Now, there's also a sitemap on your screen at the bottom left-hand corner. This displays the outline of the EN portal application and the screens associated with each action. To the right of the sitemap at the bottom of the screen is My EN SBR Capabilities link, which displays the actions that your EN can perform or access using the ticket portal, as well as any restrictions that Social Security has set for your particular EN. To the right of My EN SBR Capabilities is My Own Rights and Capabilities, which displays the actions you can perform or access using the ticket portal. To the right of My Own Rights and Responsibilities is Links, which displays links to useful websites. And next to Links is Reference Table, which provides access to information like denial reason codes, SGA and trial work level amounts, and ticket payment amounts. This will be a pop-up window that you can reference as you're working with the ticket portal. The announcements link at the bottom right-hand corner of the screen will allow you to see the announcements at any time. And finally, there is a sign-out button in the upper left-hand corner. it is important that you sign out by clicking the sign out button instead of closing your web browser. And be sure to be careful of using the back button on your web browser because it will actually log you out of the ticket portal and you'll need to sign back on. We will now look into assigning a new ticket. The first step is to determine if the ticket is assignable. And during your initial interview with the beneficiary, you can determine if his or her ticket is assignable by going to the Click Check Assignability by SSN link. The individual status, ticket status, and use history screen will display, and you must enter a Social Security number to review the ticket status and ticket use history. Enter a Social Security number and select Search. The screen will display the information for the ticket status and ticket use history based on that Social Security number. In this example, we will assume that the beneficiary's ticket is assignable. And since the beneficiary's ticket is assignable, you can complete and sign the individual work plan. If you are a new EN and have less than 10 tickets, you will need to fax or upload through the old portal, the IWP, to Operations Support Manager. In a later release before the April rollout, additional functionalities to assign and unassign tickets for single beneficiaries will be included here. Now, let's assume that we're an EN that is eligible to use the ticket assignment request process where we do not have to submit an IWP but have them stored in our office. With this being the case, an EN would be able to assign a ticket on the ticket portal. And from this particular screen, the EN would click the Assign a Ticket button. Here, the EN would assign the ticket by inputting the beneficiary's name and ticket assignment date. Remember, this functionality will be only available to ENs that are eligible for the ticket assignment request process. We will select the Submit button to assign the ticket. Also, if you want to submit a file with multiple beneficiaries for assigning and unassigning, you'll be allowed to upload file following a standard format. And we will actually circulate the specifications of the file formats later to all service providers. When uploading such a file, depending on the number of beneficiaries and the load on the system, you may have to come back at a later time to see the results of the submission. Let's assume that you're an EN that needs to submit an IWP and have uploaded the IWP to the ticket portal. When you come back to see if your IWP uploaded, you'll select the processing status of the file uploads. The file processing status of upload screen will display, and this will display the processing status of uploads for your EN. You can also download the processed file for your use, and the values in the following columns can be selected, and a pop-up description box will display file type, processing status, and downloaded. We will select the main menu button to return to the main menu. Assuming that the file uploaded, you can check the list beneficiaries currently assigned to me to make sure the ticket for the beneficiary was assigned. The list of beneficiaries currently assigned to me screen displays the list of beneficiaries currently assigned to your EN. You can use search filters such as assignment date ranges either by using the calendar icon or typing it in or name to narrow the search results. We have blurred out some of the beneficiaries' names, but we'll click on the Actions link, circled in red, next to one of the beneficiaries' information. This advances to the More Actions screen and will take you to a list of actions that you can perform for this beneficiary. Please note that this is a dynamic list and will show only those actions that are applicable for this beneficiary. In this example, it displays 8 different menu items for the beneficiary. The menu items of course, are self-explanatory, but we'll go ahead and quickly review them. The Show Payments option will display payments for the beneficiary. The Show Pending Payments will display any pending payments for the beneficiary. And this link will only display if there are pending payments for this particular beneficiary. The Show Assignments link will display the ticket status of the beneficiary. The Show TPR link allows you to see the status of the beneficiary's timely progress review. The View and Manage Case Notes link allows you to enter case notes. This confidential information can only be viewed by your EN and not by Social Security or the Operations Support Manager. You may wish to include important information pertaining to the client's case or to a future activity for a client. Request of Payment will allow us to submit a payment request. The Unassign or Close This Case link allows you to unassign a ticket. And finally, just for demonstration purposes, the Convert VR Case to the Ticket link will allow a state VR agency to convert a VR case over to the ticket program. Let's select Unassign or Close This Case to unassign a ticket. To unassign a ticket, enter the ticket unassignment date and specify who requested the ticket unassignment. Once the EN clicks Submit, a screen will appear to confirm the unassignment was successful. Let's click Close to return to the More Action screen. Let's walk through the process of submitting a payment request by selecting Request a Payment. At the Payment Request screen, you can request payment for a claim month based on the beneficiary selected from the Beneficiaries Currently Assigned to Me screen. We enter a claim month and select Submit. Please note that you need to submit separate payment requests for each claim month. You will now enter the payment type, such as Phase 1 Milestone, Phase 2 Milestone, or Outcome Payment. If you are requesting a Phase 1 milestone, you must enter a number 1 through 4 in the Enter a Milestone Number from 1 to 4 field to indicate the Phase 1 milestone payment that you're requesting for payment. The milestone numbers are not required for Phase 2 nor outcome requests. And if earnings are to be added, select the Yes radio button under Add Earnings. At this stage, the portal performs certain validations to check if the payment request is allowable. If the validations fail, it will not let you proceed with submitting the payment request. It also checks to see if there are sufficient earnings for the claim month and payment type requested already available in Social Security's internal system. If so, the portal will not prompt for any further information and will let you select if you want to fax, mail, cover sheet, which we'll describe later. If there are no earnings in Social Security's system, it will treat the request as an evidentiary payment request. It will prompt you to choose the appropriate evidence type, such as an employer statement, a pay stub, or information from the work number, and will prompt you to enter the earnings information. You then enter employer information, pay period start date, pay period end date, pay date, gross amount paid, net amount paid, and press submit. Please note not to use special characters with the employer information. Then you press save. The earnings added will be displayed in a table. You can add more earnings or edit delete earnings already entered. At this time, there is a limit of 5 earnings per request, and this will be expanded in a future release. In the meantime, please enter the first 5 pieces of evidence. As long as the evidence is faxed after the payment request is submitted in the portal, the earnings will be validated. And you do not need to enter earnings more than once. If a pay period overlaps 2 months, let's say January and February, and you have already entered the earnings for the first month of January, then you do not need to re-enter them for the second month of March, and then the earnings will already be in Social Security's administration system. And to add another set of earnings, select the radio button, yes, and again, and enter the data and select save, and the new set of earnings will display in the table. You will need to check the box. Proof of earnings will be faxed in unless you're submitting an evidentiary request. Let's select the radio button, yes, by add a note. As an option, the system will allow you to enter notes for each request. These notes are viewable by the payments analyst, and you may delete what was entered by selecting the delete note button. Once you select submit, with the proof of earnings will be faxed in box checked, the system will display a cover page. As I mentioned earlier, you will need to check the box proof of earnings will be faxed in unless you're submitting an evidentiary request. And if the system found the earnings and did not prompt you for earnings information, then sending any evidence is optional. If you select proof of earnings will be faxed in, a fax mail cover page will display. This page will include a Social Security Administration reference number, which will be the same as the current work case number. So please save this cover sheet in a local computer for your records. If you'd like to e-fax your evidence, merge this cover page and your evidence so that the cover page is the first page and then e-fax it. If you're sending the evidence by regular fax machine, please print this cover page and send it as the first page with your copies of your evidence. The fax mail cover page and evidence must be faxed to the number listed on the fax cover sheet. The page has a barcode which automatically attaches your submission to the work case, ensuring quicker processing of your payment. The cover page cannot be used more than once. Any additional submissions using the same cover page will not get processed. We will now go back to the More Actions menu. Since we have entered the payment, we want to make sure that the payment is in the system. Click on the Show Pending Payments link. The Pending Payments link displays all the pending payments for the beneficiary. We will see the payment request that we just submitted. As mentioned earlier in the call, this information will be real-time. If you want to see payment requests that completed processing, either paid or denied, we will have to use the Show Payments link from the More Actions menu. When you select the Show Payments link, the individual ticket payment summary screen will display. And we want to see why John Doe's payment on 12/10/2012 was denied. You notice that there is a denial code of 02. To find out what the code means, we can either select denial codes at the top left-hand corner of the table, circled in red, or you can click on the denial code by the transaction in question. We will click on the denial code circled in red by the transaction for 12/10/2012. Now, this displays a pop-up with the denial information. We will close the pop-up selecting the X in the top right-hand corner. We will select the button Close to close out of the Show Payment screen. We will select the Close button to close out of the More Actions screen. And we will select the Main Menu button to return to the Main Menu. And here we are back to the Main Menu. And we will now explore another option to check if a payment is finished processing. We will now select View Payments Already Made to Me. You may search here for payments already made to your EN for all the beneficiaries based on date and denials, whereas the Show Payment screen displays payments for one beneficiary. Enter the dates you wish to search, and the start and end dates cannot be more than a year apart. The Payments Already Made to Me screen is similar to the Employment Network Payment Status Report on the old portal. enter the dates you wish to search. And please note that, again, the start and end dates cannot be more than a year apart. The results will actually display, which you can view on a spreadsheet by selecting the option Download Entire List to Excel. We will click the main menu button to go back to the main menu. We will select beneficiaries currently assigned to me from the main menu so that we can take a look at the timely progress review status. We will select the actions link to go to the More Actions menu. We will select the TPR status link from the More Actions menu. The TPR status screen allows you to see the status of John Doe's timely progress review. We will click on the Provide TPR Assistance link. Now this takes you to a screen that allows you to enter TPR qualifying criteria and also optional comments online. You would press the Submit button once you entered all of the information. We will select View and Manage Case Notes link from the More Actions menu. The ticket portal allows you to enter case notes. This confidential information can only be viewed by your EN and not by Social Security or the Operations Support Manager. You may choose to use case notes to include important information about a beneficiary or a future activity for a client. We will select the Add a Note. You can add notes by selecting Note Diary Date. The note expires date provides you the option of having the note disappear at a specified time. You would select the Save button to the Save Notes. And when you return to the Case Notes screen, the note will display and a Delete button will be available. We will select the Close button to return to the More Actions menu. We will select the main menu button from the list of the beneficiaries currently assigned to me screen. And from the main menu, we will select View Directory Information about your EN or SVR. The View Directory Information about your EN or SVR screen will display. And this is an active screen. This screen allows you to view all directory information for your EN. You must select whether to include all service sites or only active service sites. Once a radio button is selected, select the Download All Service Sites link. A PDF will load with the information based on your selection, and this should be the first item you check to make sure that all your information is correct. If there is incorrect information, please contact your ENSB representative at Social Security. We will click on the Sign Out button in the upper left-hand corner, and this concludes the demonstration.
Great. Well, thank you, Adele, Kara, and Katie. Lots of very good information. It's a great introduction on the new ticket portal that is underway and anticipated for this spring. Lots of great questions in the chat room. It sounds like there's a lot of excitement around this future enhancement, and we're excited with you. France, what we'd like to do now is open the lines and take a few questions.
Thank you. If you would like to register for a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw, please press the 1 followed by the 3. And we do have a question from the line of Peter Travisano. Please go ahead.
Yes, you may have mentioned it, but I was wondering what the 800 number was to get the ball rolling with the portal registration.
This is Katie. You need to start by going online at mysSA.gov.
Yep.
There are materials on the Ticket to Work website that can walk you through the entire process. Are you
okay.
Having, you talked about starting the process, right?
Right. Yeah, I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, you don't need to contact the 1-800 number unless you're having an issue.
Oh, okay, okay.
Hopefully you never have to call them, and you get you can smoothly walk through the screen.
Okay. And do you have to upload a proof of suitability clearance?
No, you're not uploading that anywhere. You're just contacting your – once you've got your My Social Security account registered, and then you have to go in and register, it's like another step, and register for extra security. Once you get that letter in the mail letting you know you have the extra security, then you can go in, and this is when you need to contact your ENFB representative. And if you already have the suitability, then they already have a copy of it.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, as a reminder.
Go ahead, Fran. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, as a reminder, if you would like to register, you may press the 1 followed by the 4. And our next question from the line of Peter Mead. Please go ahead.
Hi. Looks like some really good work on the portal. Regarding inactive tickets, for example, I might have a client who runs into health issues and says, gosh, I can't work now. And so I might say, okay, well, it'd be good to put that on inactive status to stop the clock ticking on timely progress. So we might do that. Will there be a place on the new portal where we can verify? Because getting it verified has been a challenge in the past. So how can we get it verified that the ticket is indeed on inactive status and the date at which that change occurred, the date at which it became inactive?
This is Katie. There's a screen where you can look up the information on the ticket for your beneficiary, and that screen will show that information.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Peter.
Our next question from the line of Judy Sanderson. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Yeah, a lot of interesting information. A couple more process questions. Say that we are submitting for a phase two payment, and for some reason this person has more than 5 pay stubs. What do we do in order to complete that submission?
Hi, Judy. For now, what you would do is print out a copy of the cover sheet so that you could see what the work case number that's listed on the particular claim that you submitted. You cannot submit that cover sheet again through the ticket portal. It would only allow for one submission, but what you can do is submit the additional evidence through Maximus portal right now and annotate on the pay stub somewhere on the pay stubs the work case number, so that when those ticket pay stubs come through, we will be able to associate them with the work case. I know one of the future enhancements of the portal will be for ENs to print off more than one cover sheet if you have more information to submit. But for right now, you can only print off one cover sheet.
Okay, yeah, I don't
this is
I
Katie. Can I just – is your question –
yeah.
Because we said there's a restriction of 5 earnings that you
exactly.
can enter.
Exactly.
Right. So what we want
you to clear.
Okay. What we want you to do is enter the earnings for the first 5 pay stubs, but stack all of the pay stubs together. We will
key in the rest. Okay, got it. That makes that a lot clearer. Okay. And I think you just answered that. I mean, I think we all have problems with our fax machines on occasion, and I could see having a cover sheet and having all your pay stubs, and you're sitting there watching it go through, and you realize that 2 pay stubs went in at the same time. But you're saying at some point we're going to be able to print more than one cover sheet, so that should take care of that problem? I hope.
Yes, you'll be able to go back in if the payment specialist lets you know that, you know, you're missing a pay stub, you can just create
right.
another cover sheet, and it'll automatically associate with the case.
All right, so that should happen. Okay, and I just want to be clear that when we're submitting and we actually have the pay stubs and we type in up to the 5 entries that we can do, we have to do that, and we submit the actual pay stubs. Submitting the actual pay stubs does not take the place of putting those entries into the system now, because we don't have to do that now. We only have to submit the pay stubs. So this is something that we do have to do for everything we submit from now on.
That's correct.
Okay.
What is happening is when you key the earnings, they actually go into our system as alleged earnings, so you're doing the keying step for us for the first five.
Okay.
And then we'll key the rest. So it does go into our system, what you're keying.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to be sure. I was hoping you were going to say, oh, no, Judy, that's not what we meant, but that's okay.
But I had the thought of first, and I stopped talking. But we are going to have the ability that if SSA already, so you're sitting there with a pay stub.
Right.
And you don't know if we have that information or not. When you go in to request a payment and you type in that claim month and you pick phase one milestone two, if we have on our records that we have enough earnings for that phase two milestone, we're not going to make you enter the pay stub.
Right, I'm done. Yeah, I know. I love that part of it. Just love
so,
that. Thank you so much for that part of it.
So if we have the earnings, that should save you that entire step.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just keep my fingers crossed I get more of those. Okay, thank you. That was it for me.
Our next question from the line of David Hoff. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm doing technical assistance for a number of workforce employment networks or one-stop career centers. And they are all on ePay, the payment's automatic, and yet they're having to do an awful lot of follow-up because they know that people are working and then they're having to call and say, why haven't we received payments? And, it's more of a comment, and I don't know if you have any answers to this, but I think the fact that this, ePay system was supposed to be automatic, and yet we're having staff and very time-intensive and a lot of time spent on follow-ups on why payments haven't come through. I don't know if you have any comments or thoughts on that, because the intent was to sort of, and frankly, one of the ways that they're obviously interested in this is because they don't have to be submitting, verification and lots of background information. So it's more of just a comment of what they're experiencing, because then they call me and say, why do I have to keep chasing these people down for payments? And I'm asking you guys the same question. So I don't know if you have any insights.
Okay, this is Deborah Tennessee, and I'm the payment manager, so I can answer your question.
Thank you.
I've seen those requests. For those ENs who are under with ePay, have to remember what the requirements are for with ePay. At one time, we used what you saw as a CUBA report, which were payment leads. It would give you a three-month value for earnings, and we used to use that as a lead, a possible lead, that there were earnings out there at trial work level or above that would make you perhaps eligible for a payment. Now, remember one thing about those quarterly reports. They were 6 months old. Another thing, we used what was in Social Security's database for these quarterly earnings, not what WIBS and BRs and other state agencies used, which was UCI reports from their state agencies. The information that was in Social Security's database had already been validated. So a number of times when I had to respond to a request about why didn't I get more payments, one reason could have been when we did our WIB ePay file, it was the second month of the calendar quarter, which is February, I think May, August and November. When we processed our WIB ePay file, it was the second month of the calendar quarter. By the time those payments came into your EN's bank account, we were just getting the next updated quarter for these earnings. So by that time, a new quarter had came out. But in each case that we received a complaint or a query on, there were no earnings in Social Security's database at all for any of those payments. So at the one reminder was we processed with ePay based on earnings leads, and that those leads were the quarterly earnings file. Again, 6 months behind. Now, you may have evidence that a beneficiary is working, and you might have been able to get pay stubs for just like 3 months ago. Well, if you had those 3 months of pay stuff, sure, you could send those in. But I'm saying for right now, the basis and the requirements for making these payments of under ePay was using those CUBA or those quarterly files as an earnings leak.
So essentially, just so I'm clear on this, they eventually, I mean, I guess, you know, and I mean this with due respect, but I mean, I think their concern is that I mean, I think they're all fine with being patient for the payments. I mean, generally,
okay.
I mean, it's not a cash flow issue, but the concern is, are we going to ultimately get the money that we're owed on these folks? I mean, I guess is their question, and I kind of try to reassure them, but obviously I'm not the one who's running things. So I think, so what you're saying is just be patient because it just takes, and we all recognize that it takes a long time.
Well, it's not just the six-month lag period, because when we process ePay, we just don't process ePay for those quarterly earnings that appear for the last 8 quarters. We look at that's just the lead to tell us to go look for earnings in Social Security's database or to use that information. But there are other reasons why the EN may not get paid. And what we see is we've already paid you, or the fact that EN may not qualify due to some other situations. For example, a beneficiary might be in current pay, was previously an outcome status. Now they're back in current pay. We can't pay you anymore until the beneficiary comes back into outcome status. So we're giving you retroactive payments. We're paying you whatever we can. And
okay.
If it's something more recent than that six-month quarterly report and we don't have earnings for it, we have to wait to the next quarterly update. Now, that's under the old ePay process, because Social Security is going to go to an automated payment process in the near future where we're going to look at whatever information we have in the database, earnings information in the database, whether it's 6 months ago, whether it's last month. So that way you would be getting more current payments, I'll put it that way.
Okay, that's helpful. Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question from the line of Vincent Rossi. You may begin.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much for the informational presentation here. We have one question here in Rhode Island that we're trying to get information on.
Hello? I'm on the... Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
We can hear you.
Okay. Something just happened with the telephone here. For ENs who don't have text access, are there any options for us to unassign and close tickets other than the portal? Because we're going to have a problem here in Rhode Island. We were told in a webinar about a month ago that we presented this issue, and we were given a fax number for the program integrity department. And moving forward, you know, we'd like an answer here as far as what do we do, because Rhode Island's been very, very successful. And this seems like a lot of work. I agree with the person who was on the call before us with additional responsibilities and et cetera, but we don't have text and we're not going to be able to move forward. So can you guide us? Hello?
Katie, is that something that you can provide an answer for?
Or if someone can give us a telephone number, we can talk you know, privately, but we need to, we really need to get some answers. And we've been trying to get answers, and, you know, no one's getting back to us, so we're getting kind of concerned here. I realize that not having text and not having access to the portal, we're not going to be able to do what I'm doing right now, but I just want to know, can we move forward? Because we have a lot of new IWPs per month, anywhere from 5 to 10. We have a lot of customers here. And I need to know, can we fax to the Program Integrity Department? This is the question. Moving forward, if we don't have access to the portal, can we fax individual IWPs for ticket assignment for Rhode Island?
Let me give you
the answer. That is, yeah.
The current fax number for the awesome team is not going to be disabled. So if you need to fax in information in the future prior to your access to the portal or...
We're not
going to
have access, so that's the thing. We're not going to have access.
Right.
So how do we move forward? That's the question.
You can continue to information to our current fax number.
So
why would you not have access? You don't want to get access?
We don't have the capability of texting here. Right now, I guess, and everyone else that... When they log in, We have our office telephone number as the verification. So it's our understanding that that's changing because you need text now. So we don't have that. Therefore, we're not going to be able to gain access to the portal. So I'm asking, is there a telephone number that myself and the project lead can speak off of speaker to someone and present all these issues that we see that we're going to be encountering soon? And I'd like to straighten them out, you know, ASAP before this happens, goes into effect.
Okay, we can talk to you offline, off this call today. I'm going to give you a number and a name.
Okay.
The number is 410-965-7456.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Desiree Fitzgerald. And we can speak to you in reference to that, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and show you how to handle it. All right.
Thank you very much.
Our next question from the line of Alice Hepburn. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is actually Scott. We're all on the same call together in a collaborative effort, but if you could offer any type of assistance on this, I would definitely appreciate it. I've had a little bit of issues with the suitability clearance. I submitted the documentation exactly like it needed to, and I received notification back after it went to the wrong email address that I needed to provide additional information. That eventually got itself resolved out. And make a long story short, I've just been bantering back and forth with different people at Social Security. It's been almost 3 weeks, and I still don't even know where things stand, and I submitted all the application, all the documentation that was required of me. And it's just extremely frustrating with all the red tape, and I would just really appreciate some insight or feedback as far as how I could go proceed next, because I've done my due diligence in giving you guys everything that you needed.
Kara, are you on the line?
Kara is not on the line, but we'd like the caller to provide his name, contact phone number, and the state where he is. Or he can email the enservice@ssa.gov.
I did that, and it just ended up being like one big rigmarole where it really didn't get anywhere, and it went from that graduating to actually speaking to different people within Social Security, and nothing has been resolved yet.
All right, please provide your name and state, and we'll get back to you.
Okay, Scott Schneider, and I'm over at Career Source Palm Beach County in Florida.
Thank you.
Our next question will be from the line of Troy Schneider. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes,
okay,
we can hear you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. With this new revised portal, are we going to have access to BPQYs? And if not, do they plan to let us have access at some point in time in the future so that we can get them more faster and hopefully more accurate if everything's going to be in real time?
This is Katie. No, we will not have BPQYs in the portal.
Do you plan to let us have access at some point in the future with them or no?
There's a separate work stream that is dealing with BPQIs and access to it. It would not be part of this process.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And our next question will be from the line of Trip Carter. Please go ahead. Mr. Carter, your line is open, sir.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask a quick question. I actually asked it in the chat, but my EN is in the portal pilot, and we know that timely progress is not yet an active feature, but I guess my question is, and it came up during the presentation when we were looking at that screen, right now in the current portal, we get an email alert that tells us we've got cases in there for timely progress, and there's an actual queue that we go in to view that list. Is there going to be any kind of notification in ITOPS that lets us know that we need to go in and work on those, or will there be some way for us to know when we log in each time that we have X number of cases that need to be looked at?
This is Katie. No, you're not going to get an email notification. That main screen, your list of current beneficiaries currently assigned to me, has a column on it
next to the beneficiary, and it should tell you whether or not a determination has been made and whether we need your feedback. And you'll just have to go into that list and address the ones that need your attention, that have one that's pending.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And our last question is from Judy Sanderson. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, this is Judy. I was just typing in an answer. For the gentleman who was asking about the BBQIs, there is a whole nother pilot project going on right now with a number of ENs and BRs where there is a single phone number or fax number that we can all, that we are using to request BBQIs using very specific forms and so forth. It's only been underway for maybe a month so far, but appears to be going extremely well. BBQIs are getting returned within a day or two, and there is even a contact person if you've got questions or concerns. So hopefully if this pilot continues to go well, it will address many issues that ENs are having in getting BBQIs across the country. So I would say stay tuned for that because hopefully it will become a real thing pretty soon.
Okay, great. Great questions, everyone. Thank you so very much for your participation and asking all of those questions. We are still responding to questions in the chat room. France, were there any additional callers on the line?
None at this time.
Okay, great. Well, again, thanks, everyone, very much for joining us today. We do hope that the information shared was helpful for you. And, again, if you have any additional follow-up questions or suggestions for our future all-EN payments calls, topics associated with payments, please send them to the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com. And look for the published Q&A for this call and follow-up notes that will be published on our website and provided to everyone. Just a reminder that the next all-EN call is scheduled for this Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and our next all-EN payments call is scheduled for Tuesday, April 28th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time as well. We recently published the notes from the previous all-EN call, which had a Q&A review from the presentation that was given at that time. So you can look for that posted on our website as well. Thanks again for all of your participation, and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you all for your participation today. Have a great day, everyone.